Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour. Welcome to FM 96.5, The Fam. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. The Chiefs have put out their practice squad. Amani Bailey, a guy that we liked with the potential. Not a good combine for Amani, but he's on the Chiefs practice squad at least this point.
Not a good camp.
Out of TCU. And we talked to his head coach, Sonny Dykes. Loved him, of course. Swayze Bozeman, linebacker for Southern Miss. Deion Bush is back. Remember, big pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. Cole Christensen.
Ravens game.
Out of Army back. Baylor Cup, tight end, Texas Tech. Matt Dickerson, defensive tackle, UCLA. Spent some time on the active roster last year. Neil Farrell is back for Louisiana State. Remember, the Chiefs made a deal for him with the Raiders. And he, at one point, was the only guy under contract from the Chiefs. Keontae Ingram, the running back from USC. Truman Jones, defensive end from Harvard. Fabian Lovett, defensive tackle, Florida State. Lucas Niang back on the practice squad this time out of Texas. Christian, Nico Remigio, Justin Ross, Keith Taylor, and Montrell Washington back for the Chiefs. And they use the international practice squad player because remember they get to keep an extra player internationally. And that's when they went with Godrick, the tackle. The tackle, that's the practice squad so far.
Yeah, Chew Godrick is an international pathway player, so they
spell
get an extra spot.
Do his full name.
Oh, I forgot what his
full name
is.
Well, you love to test me on names.
I'll have to look at it.
Can you name Tennessee's head or starting quarterback?
No, I don't know. I do not know.
Nico, he's one of the best in the country. You're going to love this guy. Nico Ima Luva Leva.
Okay. It's Chukwuebuka Godrick.
There you go. Chukwuebuka.
He just went with Chew.
But you and I have so much fun during names during the draft.
I have fun with it because you butcher every name.
Well, you know what?
You butcher most names.
Sumatia, I can do that when blindfolded, man.
You missed the ta. You said Sumatia.
It's Sumatia.
Yes.
Yeah. So we can do that. And the Nico is going to be a fun quarterback to watch Tennessee, by the way. He's going to be a fun one to watch. Also, did you see, I'll get to this in a minute, but the NFL is bringing something back that I can't remember where you stand on this, Chris. I think you actually liked it, but I can't exactly remember.
Talking about them chains?
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in the next segment. But the 2014 Royals, they were a good team. Made it all the way to the seventh game of the World Series. You know who led the team in home runs that year? Take a wild guess.
Talking about, what, you said 15, right?
14.
14. It wasn't.
It's like a Vern on the clock question.
Was it Gordo, right?
It was
Gordo.
Nice job.
He had like what?
19.
20. Yeah, yeah. I was about to say it was like, I was going to say 21, but yeah. They did not hit a lot of home runs that year.
He had 19, led the way. Sal Perez had 17. Moose. Yeah. Had 15.
Gordo didn't find, Salvi didn't find his power until what, 17 or 18?
Well, every year he kept raising.
He didn't find his power until like, I think it was 18.
Leading RBI guy, Alex Gordon was 74.
Yep.
Perez was 70. So that was it. Again, the Royals have three guys over what, 90?
And you got to think about it. Like, you had 74 was your top RBI getter on a World Series team.
Yeah, team in the World Series this year. As far as home runs,
how good they were at spreading it around, but they didn't have like one great bat.
Bobby Witt Jr. hit his 28th today. Sal Perez has 25. Vinny hit one today. He's got 19 now. So you have three guys over 20 there. But
DeYoung's over 20 now.
Yeah, unless you're counting Paul DeYoung, that most of those came from the White Sox, but six of them have come from
still,
the Royals.
You're talking about a guy who's, and he's been hitting, what is it? I think he's hit five home runs since he came here. So, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, Paul DeYoung is playing extremely well for the Kansas City Royals. But RBI-wise, this is crazy. Vinny's got 96. Bobby and Sal have 94 each. And again, like you said, 14. 74 led the way with Alex Gordon. 2015, the only guy over 100 ribs was, can you guess this one?
All right, which year?
2015, the year they won it.
That wasn't Morales, was it?
It was.
It was
Kendrick's
Morales.
Nice job.
Yeah,
two for two.
It was Morales, yeah.
He had 106.
It's because he had so many guys that got on base above him, and he was in the cleanup spot, so yeah.
Hosmer ended up with 93, and Moose ended up with 82 that year. But you got three guys that are going to blow past that this year. Again, Bobby Witt's already at 94 and self-president.
If that was a pitch clock question, it was me out of one.
Oh, yeah. You them totally tickets. You're two for two.
I'd have got them tickets.
Well, you're out there all the time anyway. It was fun. We had a good time when you were out there. But it just shows you. Now, it was an all-around team. You say, well, they stole a lot of bases, which they did. The 14 team was good at the stolen bases. But they only had two guys over 30. That's it. Two guys over 30 stolen bases. Do you realize they're going to have three guys over 30 stolen bases this year? Now, let's put you to the test, three for three. Can you name the three players?
I don't think I can get this
one. Bobby Witt Jr. 30. Only one has over 30 at this point, yeah. But I think three will make it.
So Bobby Witt Jr.
He's got 27, so he'll easily make it.
Mike Hill, right?
Mike Hill leads the team with 32.
Oh, who's the third?
Very surprising one. Player.
Is it Renfro?
No, it's a good guess. So, Blanco.
Is it Frazier?
It's Blanco.
Tyron Blanco.
Tyron Blanco, yeah.
He's almost 30.
Yeah.
He barely plays.
He's faster than hell, though.
He's faster than hell, but he barely plays. Like, it feels like he makes like a guest star appearance in games every now and then.
Mikel Garcia has only been caught stealing once.
Yeah, Mikel's great. That's the one problem with him is like if he had a better on base percentage, like he'd be like the perfect
Renfro,
leadoff
by the way,
guy.
Has one.
No, Renfro had one. That makes sense with Blanco because he is brought into pinch run a lot. And he's just basically going to steal.
We had that power surge in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he did. He did have that power surge.
He's a base stealer, too. I mean,
he's definitely – that's his big thing is his base stealing abilities.
They're going to have three guys over 30. Again, this team is ridiculously good offensively and starting pitching-wise. Starting pitching-wise got him there. I know the bullpen, we look at 14 and 15. Obviously, the bullpen's better that year. But this offense this year, I'll take it. I'll take this 2020. They're fun to watch. I know they lost today, but man, if you're Cleveland, you got to be shaking your boots right now.
I mean, this is a tough situation just because it seems like the Royals are kind of catching fire a little bit. And
at the right time.
Best record since
All-Star break.
If you're a team like the Guardians and the Ops are out here getting hot at the wrong time, at the right time here as we go into September, and you're starting to slow down a little bit. You've been losing momentum the last couple months. Like at one point, you were almost double digit lead in the division, and now it's down to one. Like
June 24th. Like you're not that far away.
Yeah, as I say, 2 months ago,
it's almost a game a week they picked up,
and they've just been slowly but surely bleeding this lead out, and now they're in a position where they're just barely hanging on, and they had to get a salvage game in a 4-game series to avoid getting swept and then being a game down in the division. Yeah, it's real tough in Cleveland right now.
Now the Twins have a plus 67 run differential. Cleveland's got a plus 68. The Royals are sitting with a nice, cool plus 105. Second best in the American League, only to New York Yankees at plus 129.
Yeah. That's a big thing for the Royals because...
And the Royals have three less wins than the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's huge for the Royals just because you look at, you know, when they get into the playoffs...
And they need to get the second, get that
you
bye.
You get hot in the playoffs. Your bats get hot in the playoffs, and you start hitting off some of these good pitchers out there. And you force them to go into their bullpen early. You get an advantage in those series.
So, and this team is good enough to get a bye. I mean, they're good enough to get to the finish line and get that bye.
Yeah, because there is no remarkable teams in the AL. Like, the fact that they're only three games behind the Yankees there, and the Yankees at one point looked like they was about to run away with it. That makes this whole thing really interesting just because...
I mean, Baltimore's right on their heels. Baltimore's just one game back from the Yankees.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's really tightly contested. So, like, things could change up real quick over the next month or so as we get into the last stretch of the regular season to get into the playoffs. It could be a situation where, like, the Royals are getting a bye and they're sitting pretty going into the playoffs.
Because that first series, if you're in that, that's three quick games at the seed, the highest seed.
It's real fast. You lose that first game, like...
The highest seed, yeah. Yeah,
game two's tough.
You're on the
game two's
on the brink.
Tough. Yeah, so
right
it's like
if it happens.
Yeah, that's the reason why you want to get as much help as you can, and that's the reason why like this next month, you know, a little over a month, going to be real big for the Royals.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's going to be fun to watch. Listen, you're going to get a playoff team. You're going to get a baseball playoff team with the Chiefs. And I remember the 14 and 15 Royals, they just consumed the city. The city's normally a football town, to be honest with you. But it consumed the city, became a baseball town. 14 and 15, that's everything anybody wants to talk about. Remember 14, the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs that year. Still, you know, it was pre-Mahomes. The expectations weren't there. Now you have the expectation to go to the Super Bowl all the time. But does it feel different to you, Chris, at all? And the Royals, I mean, it feels weird because now you're splitting. Because I know people always were thinking about the Chiefs, but man, when the Royals in 14 and 15, they dominated a lot of the city's concentration. A lot of it.
It is tough because I don't know what to think of the team as far as playoff contention goes. Because like we know the weaknesses of the team, and we know like there's issues where like the bullpen, obviously, you're still trying to figure out some parts of that, but you're feeling better about the bullpen now because you got Urseg and whatnot in there. And
the best record since the break. That's
yeah,
huge.
And you're feeling good about your bats, but at the same time, it's like you're still relying on like the first four batters of your lineup really heavily. And you're hoping that you get some production on the back end of your lineup. So yeah, I don't feel like I did in 15, where like in 15, like the entire year I was like, oh, we're good.
Unfinished business.
We're good. Like they're good. Like what matters is the playoffs. That was what 15
and
was.
We're looking at the deal for Cueto and Zobrist.
Yeah. Like once they got Cueto and Zobrist, you're like, okay, we're not looking back.
Yeah, this team is pushing all in.
But during 14, a lot of it was just like, just make the playoffs.
Man, I just look back the day shift that I used to do with Henry Lake. We were at Uncle D's. Like, we were up at training camp every day. But and we always talked all Chiefs all the time, except for those years.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of Royals conversation those 4 hours.
Yeah, it was like just make the playoffs. And then that relief happened when they did make the playoffs, and the team started playing a lot better. So it's like, maybe that is kind of what this situation is for the Royals, and that's the reason why they're starting to play better, because the relief is here, because now they feel more comfortable. They feel like, okay, we're not on the brink of being eliminated and failing again. And, you know, that's really cool to see. But I still don't know how to feel about the team as far as contention goes for a championship, just because, like, this thing happened really damn quick. And you don't see this happen in baseball that often.
Well, 100 loss team has never won the division.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So it's like, it's hard for me to really grasp just how competitive they are. Like, I think the Royals do have a chance to go to the World Series because the rest of the other teams in the AL, none of those teams look remarkable.
In nobody's 14 running and 15, away with we were it. Star for something. We were star for that postseason.
Like, nobody's running away with it.
A lot of people didn't remember 85.
Yeah. You know,
they didn't remember 85. Yeah. Hell, I went to the 1980 World Series. I remember being in Chicago that night that they clinched in 2014. It was with Vern. And I remember I was filling out the AP ballot for college football, and Vern was taking these calls from people who are just ecstatic. Some people are crying and everything. They couldn't believe the Royals were going to be in the postseason. That was the debate then. Is a wild card game count or not? I did. It's in the postseason. I don't care. Medicue, the manager of the Royals, was on with Bob and Dusty this morning as he joins them each and every Wednesday, 9 o'clock. He was asked a good question by Bob, why this team has not had any longer than a 4-game losing streak. And I love this answer because it just shows you how diverse this offense is.
Well, the first answer that comes to mind is pitching, right? Because pitching is what gives you a chance to win every day. And we've had outstanding starting pitching throughout the entire season. The bullpen, as you saw yesterday, was remarkable. I mean, those are the things. When you limit the other team from scoring, you give your chance to win. And we've had really good production in the lineup. You know, we have different ways to beat teams. If we're not hitting homers, we can steal bases. You know, so that we have a diverse team, which I think is a good identity to have. But again, it starts with pitching and defense, and you know, that's been our hallmark.
And I love that because they do hit home runs all the time. You expect a home run or stolen base, and this team can do everything. And of course, Bobby Witt Jr. is just amazing to watch each and every day. By the way, from the 816. Says that this guy says, I picked up an extra day through the end of September, 3 a.m. to 3:15, Wednesday through Sunday. So he's going to miss a license. Hopefully 100 hours of overtime pays for Super Bowl tickets. I love that, man. Guy's saving for Super Bowl tickets. I love it.
I mean, take care of yourself doing them 12-hour shows.
Yeah, be careful, man. But he's getting overtime, so, you know, hey, well, what do you know? Come up next, though, something's coming back in the NFL, and I'm not going to get my way, at least for 1 year. I'll discuss it with Chris next.
Follow The Tribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Man, unless you plan on paying those receivers, don't draft them. Brandon Ayuk still not practicing for the 49ers. Still,
Not have a plan to pay these guys?
Or trade him or whatever. At some point, you got to get what you get. You got to move on. The 49ers, people talk about this roster. I will remind people, they have the less rest of anybody in the National Football League. Trent Williams still holding out their tackle at 36 years old. And Brandon Ayuk, who knows what's going to happen to him.
You have two starters holding out right now. Two of your most important offensive starters holding out right now.
You're a week away from playing.
Yeah, you're a week and a half away from playing.
And Jamar Chase, for Zach Taylor, say, oh, I think he's going to come back tomorrow. He ain't coming back, man. You have to pay him. He shows up at practice today late, and he shows up with shorts and T-shirt, didn't practice.
So a week and a half before you play your game.
One of the best receivers in the league. Yeah. So is he going to be ready for the Chiefs game in week two? Maybe not. I don't know how long this thing's going to go, but he's pretty steadfast in what he's doing.
And I know that people will bring up Chris Jones, but Chris Jones is going for a third contract, not a second contract. So it's very, very different. And not only that, but those teams don't have – like, the 49ers do have some issues because they are paying a lot of big money to a few players. But like the Bengals – they don't have nearly as much.
Like, again, don't T. Higgins draft somebody like that unless you're expecting to pay him.
They're paying T. Higgins on the franchise tag.
I mean, the Chiefs have gotten away from things cheap, and Hollywood Brown's going to be on a prove it deal with the Chiefs, so it's smart doing business.
Like, I just don't get, like, how do you not have a plan? Like, I can get the 49ers situation
a week away, man. You had all of offseason training camp.
I can get the 49ers situation because you're paying a lot of people. Like, they got a lot of people making, like, market-making money.
And against the cap.
And they weren't expecting Trent Williams to want a new contract a week and, you know, 2 weeks before the season.
And like, their window's closing because they're not paying their quarterback.
Yeah, so I'm saying is, like, they're not expecting that. But, like, the Bengals, like, how did you not have this planned? How did you not know that you were going to need to pay your best wide receiver as quickly as he could be, as quickly as possible after he became eligible to get an extension? You knew he was going to want that money. How do you not plan on that? Especially because you already decided you're not paying T. Higgins. How do you not have that contract ready to go for Jamar? That don't make no damn sense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but you like the chain gang?
I'm cool with it, yeah. I think the aesthetic aspect of it I like.
And they weren't going to take that away. That was going to be the backup for the laser technology. That was going to be the backup situation. And they tried it through the preseason. There were some games. They did test market. And the NFL was going to make a decision whether to use it this year or not. But a lot of times, Chris, it took ridiculous delays. Not sure if you were watching any preseason around the league.
I didn't see any that had the technology.
Had to wait. They had to wait forever. Like it was, you think it'd be a split decision, something that should be real quick. It's not.
Yeah, and that's like always been like the biggest issue with it is just like timeliness of getting the results of this data imaging.
Yeah, so it had some according to USA Today, it had some uneven results. Took longer than what the traditional chain gang would have done on their own, but it's accurate. But they're going to have to table this. Now, it is coming back. I think it'll be back next year when they kind of refine the technology. I'm shocked they haven't had this technology yet. I mean, they've had the resources to go do it. The NFL is a billion-dollar industry. This should have been done. One thing that frustrates me is, you know, the eye test from referees spotting the ball. Because sometimes you're looking at it going, That's not the spot. And then the chain gang comes out and you missed it by an inch. And it's like, wait a minute. That was actually a first down. So I like the accuracy of it. And they were going to use the chain gangs as a visual reference for teams to understand how far they had to go for a first down. But now we're just straight back to the chain gangs, man.
I think it's good if you want to do like let's say there's like a challenge on a spot. I think it would be good to use that imagery for that, you know, that imagery for that part. But like trying to do it for every first down, like if the timeliness of it is not good and it disrupts the flow of the game too much, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, and like I said, for me, my thing wasn't so much like I don't want technology in the game or anything. It's just like, if you're going to do it, you have to find a way that adds to the presentation of the broadcast. It can't just be us just, oh, they ruled it first down. You know, like it's kind of like when they instituted like VAR in soccer, and there isn't like an absolute way that they go about starting that review process. It's just players and coaches will yell at the referee, and then the people up in the booth will look at it, and then they decide, they tell the referee to go look at it. So it's way off because it just stops the flow of the game.
But I'm all like, for the accuracy of it. It's a lot of money, yeah, on these games.
And I'm cool with it too, but it's just like in football, you want the aesthetic aspect to match the technology. And if they do not have a way to make the aesthetic part work,
trying to do it cool by showing on a scoreboard.
Yeah,
and
that's fine, but like you also have to make it timely too. It can't take us 2 minutes to figure out if someone got a first down. That's just not gonna work.
I mean, like, the timing of it, the windows.
Yeah, that's why, like, if you're gonna do it, just use it right now for challenges for spots. I think that right there would be good because that takes time anyways for officials to get down. And sometimes you can't even tell because it's a pile of men out there on the field and you don't know where the ball exactly is.
Oh, it's a guessing game at times.
Yeah, it is a guessing game. And so, like, I think that's the time where it would be best used. But I think if you do it for every first down, if it takes too long, it's just going to disrupt the flow of the game. And football is a television product, and you don't want people sitting there losing interest in the game because it takes 2 minutes for us to figure out if someone got a first down.
No, you got to make it quick. Baseball drives me nuts how long those replays take.
Yeah, those replays are take way too damn long sometimes.
816, by the way, they says, what's going to happen to the 49ers when they start having to pay Brock Purdy some money?
Oh, they're not going to be that good.
They have the second best Super Bowl odds right now behind the Chiefs. They're number two. And yes, when they pay their quarterback, things are going to change because all that money that you're paying McCaffrey and Kittle and Bosa and Debo Samuel and all that, and Ayuk, maybe it's gonna rear its ugly head.
History tells us
when you pay your quarterback, except for the Chiefs, heading close.
History tells us that when you pay your quarterback, you got to make some sacrifices because quarterbacks generally,
and you better draft well.
The only quarterback that is on a team friendly deal in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. That's it. Every other quarterback out there has a deal that is costing their team a lot and causing them to have to make some really tough decisions every offseason because they can only pay so many people. And it's going to be the same for Purdy because all these guys, they want to make as much money as they can, and they don't really care if that money comes out of someone else's pocket. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, until we get to a situation where you see more guys do what Mahomes did, these teams got to make some choices about their rosters. And, you know, none of these other guys aside from Mahomes have decided to do what Mahomes does.
So, yeah, it's something to watch. But, yeah, the Chiefs also, they do Brett Veach through the draft. You're getting guys to still be on your team. Coming up next, though, there was another argument that people had. It's the kickoff rule. Are you tired of it? Is it something that's only a one-year deal for him at this point? Bill Belichick actually had a really, really good idea. Explain that next.
Welcome to your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Look alive, Kansas City. The Crown Royal Rig is headed your way Thursday, September 5th, outside Arrowhead Stadium, where you can pack a purple bag for charity and get a chance to win tickets to Super Bowl 59. Visit crownroyal.com for rules and more info. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. We've discussed the kickoff rules, and it is interesting, the whole Mecole Hardman mess up in game one of the preseason. I personally don't like the rule. I like the way things were, and there's many different reasons why. A big reason is the fact of onside kicks. You can't do it till the fourth quarter and being behind, and you have to announce what you're doing. And be honest with you, onside kicks are part of the game. Do you get them at the end of the game? No. It's much tougher to do. The percentage is very low. But for teams coming out of halftime and surprising the other team, seeing things on film, they go out and they get the onside kick. I do like that. But the NFL thinks they're going to get more returns this way, which is interesting. But through the first 2 weeks of the preseason from Troy Vincent from the NFL, 78% of kickoffs are being returned. That's what he said. 78% of kickoffs being returned. But honestly, I think you take it with a grain of salt. Again, 28 yards of what teams are averaging on returns. They're getting to the 28-yard line. If you kick it through the end zone, they're just getting to the 30. So one broken tackle here and there and giving up a long return, you don't have to worry about that if you're just kicking the ball through the end zone. Bill Belichick offered up some big reasons of why you're having the big return rate and also a good rule of what should happen.
Do you see the kickoff continuing like we have watched throughout this preseason?
It's pretty hard to get used to, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Look, my thing, AJ, first of all, my thing would be just move the ball back. I mean, this is like golf. You know, the 400-yard par fours are no longer 400-yard par fours. They're 500-yard par fours. So if they can hit it further, just move the ball back and kick off from the 20 or 25 or put it wherever you want to put it. But if you want kickoff returns, then just move the ball back. I think what we saw in preseason was most teams kicking the ball so it would be returned so they could evaluate their coverage. And sometimes they might have had a, you know, some kind of a situation with their opponent where, well, you do the same thing for us. So, you know, we get a chance to return the ball, right? And that's, you know, that's what it is. I think once you get into the regular season, if a team's got
touchbacks,
a good return,
Bill, it's just going to be touchbacks. That's all it's going to be. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, you put the ball on the 30 instead of the 25. I mean, big deal, but I'd rather do that than, you know, to kick it to one of these guys that, you know, has got a chance to, you know, change field position on you in a hurry. So I think we saw more returns in preseason percentage wise than what we're going to see in the regular season. And again, remember preseason, I mean, first of all, the games are the games. And second of all, a lot of guys that are back there are just guys that, you know, teams want to evaluate. So it's a little different. You start talking about kicking off to, you know, Turpin and, you know, Duvernay and guys like that. I mean, I'd kick it out of the end zone.
It was Belichick on with the Pat McAfee shows, the question by A.J. Hawk. And
oh,
I
talked? He never talks on that show, or at least the times I see him.
Yeah, he asked that question.
I literally never see him talk.
Yeah,
on the few clips I watch of that show. Yeah. He's always there.
Yeah.
He's sitting there, but it's always Pat McAfee.
He always travels with him. He's in Dublin with
him. Man, he actually talked on the show.
He did. That was a question of Bill. And I agree with him.
Good job, AJ.
These numbers are skewed. So the NFL can put up whatever they want, but teams are sampling what it's like. They're trying it out with their team and seeing what it's like. And then some teams are saying, we don't want to hurt our kicker. We just want you to put it to the end zone. We'll give it to him at the 30. We don't want to mess with special teams. We don't want to have that arm tackle broken and a team go down the field like we've seen with the Chiefs against Jacksonville in the preseason, the big long return. And, yes, you are seeing the Nico Remigios of the world, you know, getting back there and guys that you're going to cut and see what they can do in the return game. So, yes, preseason football is much different. But this – I don't know where you stand on this rule, Chris. I don't like it, and I know that they were talking about making the change for it before the season started and put it to 35 instead of 30, which I don't agree with, and they haven't done it yet, so I doubt they're going to do it. Dave Tope thought they wouldn't do it this year anyway, but I don't like changing the rules of the game during the game. I understand the real season hasn't started, but to me, you've gone through training camp, OTAs, you've gone through preseason football about one rule where it's put at the 30 instead of 35, which I do think makes a difference. So that is kind of really changing the rule. But what Belichick says there, you know, instead of silly things like the landing zone and doing things like that, move the kickoff back. Like if you want returns that bad, instead of kicking off from the 35, Chris, kick off from the 20. Like I agree with him on that. That would have been a simpler thing instead of landing zone rules and all that. Just move the kickoff back if that's what you really wanted.
That to me, that seems like the more logical answer than the whole landing zone stuff, and it's too confusing.
Just
that's
move
the
it
problem,
back, man.
That's the problem. Is like now you've got these because like these guys don't know the rules, and like the rules, like all this stuff is like changing a lot because they changed it during training camp.
If it ain't broke,
don't
fix it.
They changed the rules. Like and like I don't. I think they could afford to get more returns. So I do think moving them back to like maybe the 25, I think is cool because nowadays, like a lot of guys will just kick it in and it'll get like halfway to the end zone and then they'll just let it bounce out and get a touchback, take it to the 25. You know,
it's weird. It's just like, it's weird with the NFL because it's like a catch 22. It's like, they speak out of both sides of their mouth, right? They're worried about player safety and all this. That's why the players are wearing the guardian caps at training camp. That's why you want to take away the onside kick because of injuries that happen to people.
And it's also the biggest reason why they've been doing all the stuff with kickoffs in general is because of safety.
Yeah, and they don't care. Let's be honest. When they go to 18 games, they don't really care.
Like, my thing is this. If you want more returns, allow wedges back.
Allow wedges or move the ball back.
Allow blocking wedges like they used to have.
Kick it from the 20 instead of 35.
Allow the wedges. Like, if you want more returns, allow the blocking wedges like they used to have.
Where teams don't have to have a set amount on each side of the line of scrimmage.
Like, limit it to like two or three guys that can form this wedge and just do that. And, you know, and then move it to like the 25 where they kick off, or maybe even the 20. And then you get that. And I'm fine with that. I don't care about the wedges or anything like that. I'm cool with them not getting the running head start when they do the kickoff. I'm fine with that. I think that was definitely contributing to a lot of the injuries that were happening in kickoffs at both the professional and the college level. But if you want more returns, then make blocking better. You know, that's your best way to do it, is get a nice little wedge and let these guys go out and do something with it. Because I think that would make more sense, especially without the running head start. If you don't have that running head start, then you're not going to have nearly as many of those high-speed collisions that you once have. But I just think, like, in this scenario, there's too much thinking involved in it. And like, it's going to be a mess at times this year. There's going to be times where, like what happened with McColl, you're going to have mistakes made because people don't understand the rules because they change them. And I think at this point, it's like teams are probably just going to – what's going to happen is they're going to try it the way the league wants it. And then you're going to have like a couple of games where a team gets a kick return for a touchdown. And then everybody's going to be like, we'll just give up the extra 5 yards so that we, because like a lot of guys were getting to like the 28, 29, 30 anyways.
They already watered it down. Remember when they said you had to have five guys on each side?
That's what I'm saying.
Instead of loading everybody up on one side, they took that away.
They took that away, which is like you're already seeing guys get almost to the 30 anyways. So it's like at that point, if like let's say that you're, you know, the average for the like top teams is like
16
31
was the lowest average for an NFL team last year in kickoff returns.
Yeah, so like imagine if like teams' average starting position is right around the 30. You might as well just kick it out the back of the end zone and
your kicker
not
hurt.
Even risk it.
Yeah, don't get your kicker.
You don't get your kicker hurt.
You pay Harrison Butker. You don't want to make a tackle.
And don't give up a kick return for a touchdown. Like, those are the two things there. Is like, teams are going to play it safe when it comes to that. That's the reason why teams have been kicking out the back of the end zone anyways. Because like, we'll give up the extra 5 yards to not have a potential return.
They're trying too hard. It's just a rule. It doesn't need to be
If you want
there.
Returns... move them back.
I mean,
it's a simple, easy fix, and you don't have to do all this stuff. I think this is going to die after this year, because I think what's going to happen is teams are going to play. They're going to do it the way the NFL
Some
wants.
Some coaches hate it.
And someone's going to give up a return and lose a game. And when that happens, everybody's just going to kick it back out the back of the end zone, and we'll take our chances with our defense.
And I think it was Sean McVay said something like, man, it's silly. It seems silly.
It's just too much. It's too much for what has been one of the simplest aspects of the game.
And not
you
only
kick
that,
the ball down and just don't make sure it doesn't go out of bounds in the field.
You
play.
Had the back-to-back world champs and the officiating crew. Both of them confused on the McColl Hardman.
They didn't even know the rules.
So you had the back-to-back Super Bowl. That's a problem.
They spent like 5 minutes trying to figure out what the hell happened.
That's the problem when you're back-to-back Super Bowl champions and the refs can't even determine. That's a major problem in the National Football League. Something cool in the National Football League. I mentioned Peyton Manning. Well, I got something that I think that you and I and a lot of listeners probably going to like on Friday nights in the NFL.
Welcome to your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Calling all sports betting enthusiasts. Join the all-new 96.5 The Fan for the Visit Kansas City, Kansas Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with Fan Morning Show host Dusty Likens at Tanner's Bar and Grill at 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 6 p.m. to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of K-State football tickets. But hurry, because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com.
It's Carrington Harrison from The Drive here now on 96.5 The Fan, telling you guys about my friends over at Window World. Window World is the official window of the Kansas City Chiefs. Pick up the phone right now and call Window World today at 816-799-0820 or check out the website windowskansascity.com. And remember this, when you call Window World, be sure to mention that you heard this on The Drive with me, and you'll be entered into a drawing for 4 Chiefs tickets during the upcoming season. You know they got some big games, and you're going to want to be there. So call my friends over at Window World. They're offering right now 36 months same as cash financing with approved credit. In over 20 years of business, Window World has improved the look and thermal efficiency of over 54,000 homes right here in the Kansas City metro. Check out the website windowskansascity.com. Pick up the phone today at 816-799-0820 for a free home estimate. Call to be entered into a drawing for 4 Chiefs tickets. Remember, Window World, simply the best for less. And the official window of your Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, it's Rex here with RexBuysKC.com, your local KC home buyer. If you own a property in the Kansas City or surrounding area and want to sell it fast and at a fair price, write this number down, 816-330-6000. I'm a private real estate investor, not some hedge fund or large national chain. My family and I live right here in KC. I can pay cash and close on your timeline, even in as little as 3 days. Here at RexBuysKC.com, we are improving Kansas City one house at a time. I buy inherited houses, vacant houses, foreclosure houses, behind-in-payment houses. My tenant won't pay the rent houses and properties that need complete rehabs. Do you own a house that's trashed and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at this number, 816-330-6000. That's 816-330-6000. Or go to RexBuysKC.com. That's RexBuysKC.com. And I look forward to working with you.
Touchdown, Renner. Almost Andy Reid here. You know, a few years ago, my wife surprised me with tickets to a Halloween ball. And guess what? That night, I discovered a new passion. Now I've added to that passion, cheering on the greatest team with the greatest garage door company of all time. Renner offers top-notch repair services, new doors, and LiftMaster openers. It's the perfect 3 feet forward and back, R-E-N-N-E-R, with Renner. You'll stay on the championship track. Visit RennerDoor.com.
Who plays bigger than Salvador Perez? He's a giant behind the plate. The bigger the moment, the bigger his bat. And his attitude in the dugout, larger than life. So why wouldn't this 9-time All-Star be the biggest bobblehead on your shelf? When the Royals take on the Twins on Saturday, September 7th, the first 15,000 fans will haul home an enormous 9.5-inch Salvy bobblehead. Presented by Quick Trip. Tickets at royals.com/promotions.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line number, looking forward to the next 5 days. We'll get into that college football galore, and especially for the local schools. I think we're going to have a ton of fun this year locally with the interest. I mean, there's Royals, Chiefs. Your attention's going to be everywhere with sports in this town. It's never been this good. And I've lived here for half a century. So, I'm pretty excited about the way things are going. By the way, Chris, I saw this earlier, and Ari Myrov tweeted it out from the NFL, and it's making its rounds. This is something I think you and I would like. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm putting you in the account of liking this. He says, this will be awesome. ESPN announced that Bill Belichick will be a featured guest on the Manning Cast every week this season during the first half. So, okay, first of all, he's on there with Eli. And Eli beat him twice in the Super Bowl. So that, to me, is a little bit interesting, right, with Peyton Manning. But throughout the season, this was the show I think you'll like more than the Manning cast. I don't know if you like that or not, but throughout the season, Peyton and Bill will host a 30-minute show every Friday previewing that week's Monday Night Football game. The show will include a film room and schematic breakdown focusing on team and player tendencies, as well as the game plan approach for both teams. That sounds interesting as hell. So you're trying to make Monday Night Football better, which I understand that they're trying to do it because it's really lagged behind. I understand they have
Monday Night Football is great right now.
It's
great since they improved that announced.
It's since you can flex it. Yeah. It's changed. But Monday Night Football for years has kind of gone back. But you're trying to make that a big production. Monday Night Football was only so big to me growing up. It's like you look forward to it.
It was appointment television.
It was. And Sunday Night Football is, past it, to be quite honest with you. But the fact of having Peyton and Bill, like two great football minds breaking down. Like, I'd love to see Mahomes on this, someday, when he's retired and done. If he's on there with Manning, that would be a great show. Manning and Mahomes breaking things down. But think about that. A film room breaking things down in the tendencies. Because Bill Belichick's trying to do as much media stuff as he can now. He's doing everything he can now. He's back coaching on the sideline next year.
Probably in Dallas.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Whatever Bill Belichick will be on, I will watch. He was amazing on the NFL top 100 team. Like, I didn't know that he had it like that. Like, I always love when I see guys nerd out over it, former football guy. Like, that's the reason why, when Romo early on in his career, when he was nerding out and he was predicting all this stuff, I loved that. And I'm all for Bill Belichick. I'll take as much Bill Belichick football coverage as I can get.
I wonder how much smack he's going to talk about certain teams because he'll find himself back in the league.
He'll be very diplomatic.
That's why a lot of announcers have always kind of been careful about it. What if I end up in the booth next year and I've criticized these teams?
He'll be very diplomatic about it. Like somebody brought up on the text line here.
I hope he rips Dallas, though.
They improved since they removed Tessitore. Funny, I was watching earlier this week, I was watching the Chiefs Broncos game from 2018 that Tessitore and Jason Witten called, and and Booger was on that team too. Ooh, that was bad. Tessitore is cool. I just like him more for boxing and college football. They've come a long way since you've had Jason Witten out here just in the middle of the play calling out the wrong person who's getting the ball every play. Like it's improved so much better. I don't like the Manning cast because I don't really think the Mannings are that funny, but I will probably check it out because you'll have Belichick on. Somebody said you have to mute those highlights. Yes, you do.
And
you have to mute those highlights when Witten is like, what is it? What does he say? Any way possible during the left-handed throw?
Games. But Joe Buck does some of the night games.
Yeah, Buck's great. Yeah. Troy's great.
I've never cared about announcers.
I do. Because they're bad. Because if they're bad, it's noticeable. And it annoys the hell out of me. And most announcers are just okay, and I'm cool with that. I love me some great ones, obviously, but the ones who are terrible, And Jason Witten was bad and all of that. Manning cast is a little tough for me just because I like to know, I like to hear the announcers, and they're quiet and it's just like you're in the living room with the Mannings and whoever they have on. But yeah, I'll probably maybe next day go check out, go watch the first half just so I can hear the stuff from Bill Belichick. And yeah, I will absolutely watch that Friday show.
Yeah, the Friday, when they're sitting there breaking it down, it's great. I mean, Bill Belichick, when he's done that breakdowns of stuff, it's been fun to watch. You're learning inside. I always liked that 30 for 30 they had when they had Saban and Belichick sitting next to each other.
I haven't watched that.
Oh, man.
I need to watch it.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
I have not watched it, but I do want to watch it.
Seven national titles for Saban. He has six Super Bowls for Belichick, and they're sitting there. And you would think because they're lifelong friends. They used to work together in the NFL. But the first thing, they had cameras there. So, hey, can we move the cameras out? But they kept the cameras there, right? Instead of, exchanging pleasantries, they went right into their defensive philosophy. Right into it, man.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, what have you been up to? You've been out fishing or you've been just straight into it.
Yeah, because they're both football nerds.
I actually like the Thursday Night Crew with Michaels and Herb Street.
I do.
Herb Street's everywhere.
Herb Street is very good at
his
job.
He's Mr. College Football. He does game day, but he's always in for him to do NFL and college football. The same.
It's tough.
Impressive.
It's real tough. Michaels though he don't got the juice like he used to. That's the one thing I will say. Michaels sound like he's there for the paycheck.
Well, he's been doing it. He was doing the 1980 Miracle on Ice game.
He's been doing this for a long time. But yeah, Al Michaels sound like he's just there to collect a paycheck. Like it's just a job to him. And so it doesn't like I at this point now, and I don't like to call for people to retire or anything, but like if he decided to not call any more football games, I wouldn't be that broken up over it. Because I don't feel the love from him anymore. It just feels like it's a job to him. Like, hey, you know, I got a vacation home that I haven't paid the mortgage on completely yet. How about I just get these checks and then pay that thing off? That's what it feels like.
But I appreciate Herb Street on there, though. All his knowledge of college football and what he knows, breaking it down, then goes straight to NFL. I mean, that is – and I know some people on the radio do it, too. You know, you'll have people that cross over. But television, you don't see it as much, doing college and going straight –
yeah, because most guys don't have the energy to do that kind of research.
But it's just kind of funny seeing some of these old I think Saban does a great job on College Game Day. Like, I think he brings something to the table.
What I want to see, though, is I want to see someone do, like, a coach cast. And it's just, you have, like, an offensive coach, and you have a defensive coach. And it's kind of like what you see with the Amazon, like, the Prime, the Prime stats or whatever, the All 22. And they're breaking down strategy the whole game.
I want to see that. I feel the Manning cast will take a different direction. It'll be a little bit more geeky that we like.
Sometimes.
When Manning's with Belichick, because they're not going to sit there and jack. Like, Belichick's not going to sit there and play ask rabble
with them. Then they'll have on like some celebrity or some other athlete, and then they will do that.
Well, it's
and
like
I don't want to listen to that.
Hopefully they won't do as many interviews, and they'll do it the second half because it's only like the first half, I think.
Yeah, so like that to me, like that's like if I'm gonna watch people watching a game, I want the geeky stuff. I don't care about the interview with Paul Rudd or whatever. Not interested in that.
No, I'm with you. But cool they might that. Reserve that for the second half. With Belichick, the first half, they may limit that.
Yeah, like I said, to me, that's
too many voices.
Because I want to, like, when I watch these events, I want to feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, hear the story being told as I'm watching it. And, like, when Peyton Manning's cracking corny jokes, I'm good.
Or making fun of Eli, and you know.
I'm good on that.
But this Friday night show will be awesome between the two. It's like when you get removed too far from the game. Like Romo was really good his first couple years, and he slipped. I mean, he slipped some. I'm not going to be overly critical of these guys,
but he slipped for sure. Yeah.
Right when he was fresh out of the game was the best. That's why I'm expecting big things out of Brady. But if they don't let him go to the coaches,
I don't know if we're
going to
get that from Brady, man. I don't know.
I thought we'd get it.
I don't know if we're going to get that from Brady, man. I'm a reserve judgment. I'm not 100% sold that he's going to knock it out the park. I hope he does. Because I want good coverage for the best games that Fox has to cover. But, yeah, I'm not.
And as far as Joe Buck, I actually think he does a good job.
Buck's great.
He does his homework in there. I know people don't like him. But you know what? He's kind of there where everybody thinks he hates their team.
Yeah.
I remember in 2015, everybody thought he hated the Royals. But you know what? You look at San Francisco and what they were saying, those fans, they thought he hated Frisco. So he was kind of doing his job because both people thought
every team thinks that he hates their team.
Even
every
all the fan great things he was saying about Salvador Perez.
Yeah, everybody. So I don't care about it. He's great at his job. Troy Aikman's really good at his job. I'm glad that they came together as a package when they went to Monday Night Football. It would have been weird hearing like, you know, Joe Tessitore or who was it? Steve Levy with.
He's more of a hockey guy anyway.
Yeah, he's more of a hockey guy. He was doing Monday Night Football for like a year or two.
My favorite play-by-play guy ever is Keith Jackson. I know he's been a football when he went to college football because that was like when you hear that, it was Brett Musburger was you're looking live, and I love that when Musburger did. But I love Keith Jackson. And some of my favorite analysts, like I said, I like Kirk Herbstreit a ton. But as far as play-by-play, and John Madden was just
Madden
the best.
Madden was the best.
Madden was the best. Awesome. He brought everybody into it.
He loved to understand.
He loved football.
I love listening to guys who love football.
Yeah, it came out. Calling it. Like his passion, and people started watching it. Yeah. They weren't interested, but they wanted to see what Madden said. Yeah. He was part of Thanksgiving.
He was fun. He was fun to watch.
He and Summerall made a good team together. But
they were. Summerall was
Keith Jackson to me was the best, man.
I think my guy's Kevin Harlan. Like, I hated it when I was young because I always felt like the Chiefs lost when he called their games. But
everything was so big when Keith Jackson was doing the game.
If not for Jim Nantz, Harlan would be the top guy at CBS, and he'd be so great at his job.
I actually think Brad Nessler does a great job.
Nessler's great, too. I like Nessler. Like, him replacing, what's his name? Vern Lundquist.
Vern
on
the
CBS.
SEC. Now the perfect SEC's moving.
Perfect job. If you're going to get anybody to replace him, that's the guy to do it.
So we're going to get a lot of stuff. That's what the new college football game has. You get different announcers.
Right, yeah, they got a few teams on there, yeah.
Yeah, when you get better and better. Come up next, though, we'll talk some college football because guess what? They do start. Two of them start tomorrow night, one this week, and as far as the local schools against some FCS teams, but still college football's back.
Welcome to your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.